We continue the study of the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us.
Amen. We have already questions in this first verse. Why there is no more sea? Because we like the sea. We like swimming. We like fish. It's beautiful.
You like to go with the boat and look at the dolphins.
Yes, 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 yes. Why no more sea?
Well, I'm sure there will be some sea. In other words, some lakes or something there will be. I don't know exactly how big. But there will not be reason for these big, great oceans. You know, they separate. It took so many thousands of years to discover America. 1492, Christophorus Colombo, we are to wait for that. And also many shipwrecks, ships sank under the sea. I mean, to cross the ocean, and Atlantic and the Pacific, is not easy. It's difficult. It's boring to have to go so long. I prefer lakes. If you ask me, do you prefer to spend a week of vacation crossing the Atlantic or to a lake and go, you know, on the shore, maybe a little fishing, maybe a little...
Yeah.
I definitely go to a lake. Because after a few hours of traveling and traveling, it gets bored, you know, right? Yes, John, 10 years old, tell me.
Yeah. Does that mean that all the animals in the sea will die?
This is some question, I don't know. I can answer every question, but some answer would be, I don't know. I don't know there would be whales in the lakes. Maybe not. I don't know. Just like, what?
What if the dolphins die?
I think that, but this is my, what I feel. Dolphins, I think they'll be around because they're
beautiful.
One of the most wonderful creation. Maybe there would be even whales in the lakes. I don't know, because the Bible says the child shall lay down with the leopards and with the lion. They will play. And the lions will eat the grass like the ox. I guess they have to change the teeth.
So yes. On the new earth, there will be no more sea. But why? What's the reason? You said because it takes space?
Well, God created the oceans for a reason. In Genesis chapter 10, God divided the earth in the days of Peleg. The earth was divided. Peleg means divisions. And God divided the earth into continents. Continents to contain what? Contain the evil. Separate the evil. If you see North and South America separated by a little stretching of land. You see Turkey separated from Europe, the Bosphorus, like the straits. There are straits everywhere. There are to separate, to contain the evil. Because when people get together, always, invariably, without exception, they always get in trouble. When one German gets united under Nazism, and Italy under fascism, and America under capitalism, Soviet Union under communism, China under communism. The bank of the world, banks of the world get together and they organize the international banking system that they just exploit the poor. Anything that gets together in this world without Jesus, it tends to tyranny, oppressions. Okay, so God divides into languages, races. God is not a racist, but he divides into race. He created the black and the white and the yellow. He created that. Today, if you ask, I don't know, the UN is, oh, no, everybody should be white or black or brown or something. Otherwise, we're not equal. Everybody with blue eyes, everybody with brown eyes, everybody a meter 70 or a meter 90.
No.
I mean, if they could, they're going to make everybody this. Just, in other words, a rubber stamp, bang, 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 bang.
That's not possible.
Well, listen, God didn't make it that way. He created the dinosaur when they were not useful anymore. He just did away with them.
Mm-hmm.
He created the mammoth and the, you understand? So God knows what he's doing. All right, Kingdom of Heaven, they're not all going to be equal, all communists, all fascists, all capitalists, all European Union, all Americans. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like that. All right, so we can be equal, but only in love. We have equal rights, but no equal merits, no equal rewards, no equal crowns,
yes.
No equal talents the talents are not going to be distributed equally. Everybody gets 10 talents. No, you bury your talents under the sand, you get nothing. You use your 5 talents, you get 10, plus 11 from the guy who didn't use his, Matthew 25. You can read it. Got it?
Good. So there will be no more sea because there is no more need to separate the evil?
Yeah, there won't be any more continents. There will be no reason to contain the evil.
So everybody will be united?
No, they will be separated in nations, even in the new earth, except the new Jerusalem. That's the nation of God, the people of God, the bride of God. We studied that in a few scriptures, how the new earth is going to be divided into nations.
And what is new heaven? In verse 1 it says, there will be new heaven.
New heaven, it's... now the devil is in heaven. You see Revelation 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. You can read the Revelation.
Yeah, we studied that. Yeah.
Okay. Revelation 12, 7, there was war in heaven. The devil and his angel, his demons, fought against Michael, the archangel, and God's angels. But the devil lost. He gets cast out of heaven. Mm-hmm. The devil is in heaven now, not in the... in a certain part of heaven, yeah. You can call it Auschwitz if you want.
You explain, like a ghetto.
It's kind of a concentration camp where the devil and his demons are, but he's in heaven. He's in heaven. Mm-hmm. Like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he talk about three heavens. The first heaven is the one you see with the clouds. Mm-hmm. And then there is a second heaven, all right? That's where the devil all around the planet. Mm-hmm. And then there is a third heaven. That is everything else. Where God lives. Everything else is God's. The devil has a little section, heavenly section around the planet. So there'd be new heavens because God does cleanse, purge, purify, burn. Like Peter, second epistle Peter, chapter 3, I think. Yes, it says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Mm-hmm. All right, and there will be new heavens. So The heavens where now the devil is shall burn, including the first heaven. You know, just yesterday he sent in the space a spaceship. They sent just yesterday, and there were some I don't know if it was 30 or 40 satellites.
They sent yesterday in space in one day.
Wow. Yeah, just one missile. Mm-hmm. There was some. I forgot there were around 40 or more. Some 40 satellites in one missile. Mm-hmm. Now they can do that. Now you buy a satellite and you have your radio, your TV, whatever you have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the whole, the first heaven, the heaven we see, it's all contaminated, full of garbage and junk. In fact, the scientists are saying that sometimes it's dangerous around the stratosphere because it's so full of garbage. Mm-hmm. There are metal debris afloat around the planet everywhere. Even though it's so big, but there are so many, so much. It's like a junkyard. The heaven is becoming junkyard. So sometimes this metal, they hit the spaceship, and it's not good. They say eventually it's going to be dangerous. So the guys will have to send some garbage spaceship to pick up the garbage. Because wherever man goes, whether it's in the stratosphere, whether it's on earth, under the earth, in the sea, he contaminates. The man, the Christless, the godless, atheistic man, wherever he goes, he contaminates. So there be new heavens. This shall burn away, 2 Peter 3. Shall burn. Okay, and we see also Revelation 20, verse 9 and 10, that fire comes from heaven after the millennium. All right, because 20, verse 7, it says, after the millennium, verse 10, fire comes down from heaven. And that is 2 Peter 3, whenever the surface, I believe it's the surface, it gets burned. And then comes here, what we're studying today, Revelation 21, new heaven and new earth.
Yes, thank you.
Verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
So basically, this city in Jerusalem is like a bride. This is the bride of Christ. You know, the walls, the diamonds, the precious jewels and everything, those are the walls and the streets of the city. All right. But inside, there will be all the angels, all humanity, all the angels are part of the bride of Christ. Not all the saved are part of the bride of Christ.
So inside New Jerusalem goes only the bride? Not only all the Christians?
Only the bride. Only the Christian, which is symbolized in Revelation chapter 3 by Philadelphia, or the faithful church, and the Christians who are not Philadelphia, who are not the bride, symbolized by Laodicea, Revelation 3, 14, Laodicea, that Jesus says, I'm going to vomit you out. So some Christians are going to be vomited out, the lazy ones, the disobedient ones, the ones who didn't give the whole heart to Jesus, only just enough to get saved, but never wanted to get married with Jesus, okay, with the whole heart, with all their possession, the material belongings, spiritual, their heart and soul and mind and spirit. So they remain saved by they're not soldiers, they're not disciples, they're not witnesses, they don't evangelize. So that's the Laodicea of today. So make sure, brethren, we're part of the Philadelphia by forsaking all, giving all to Jesus. Amen.
And in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins which get married with a bridegroom, it means that they are the ones going inside the New Jerusalem?
The one with the oil, yes.
That door that's shut, that's New Jerusalem
door?
Yeah,
that's New Jerusalem. Amen, that's New Jerusalem, exactly. And the ones don't make it in because they didn't have oil, they're going to be left out, right? And whatever the place is, I don't know exactly, but not in New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us.
Amen.
To make it.
Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
Wow. So, here he's saying that this New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, it is the tabernacle of God. Tabernacle means a tent. It's a dwelling tent. That's where God dwells. It used to be the ark in the Old Testament. The earthly dwelling of God in the Old Testament was the ark. But after the millennium, God will dwell in New Jerusalem. Now, is that the only place he's going to be? No, he's omnipresent, but he will be there.
But this will come down, the city will come down from heaven and stay on earth?
Yes.
And God will dwell among the people?
He will dwell not among all the people, just the people in New Jerusalem, because there will be nations in the new earth which are not inside New Jerusalem. So even though God is omnipresent, but his actual physical, material presence will be only in New Jerusalem. So but God will be also in other places in heaven. He will be everywhere, right? He's omnipresent.
Mm-hmm. But the manifested presence in New Jerusalem.
Yeah. He will be in New Jerusalem. Not only there. It's not that at the end of the galaxy he's not going to be there. He's going to be, he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. He can appear and disappear in 10 places.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, God is God. Amen.
Yes.
So let's strive and try to make it to the New Jerusalem because it's going to be exciting. Verse 4.
Amen. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So if you are suffering, if you have problems, if you're crying, people dying, people in sorrow, no more. For the former things have passed away. 5.
Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
So in other words, there are many doctrines today. Everyone has his own doctrines. Blessed are those Christians whose only doctrine is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Many churches have, you know, the Catholic doctrine, the Protestant doctrine, Evangelical, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons. Our only doctrine should be the Bible, brethren. And people say, yeah, but this is to explain the Bible. No, not at all, not. It's just, you can read but the real interpreter, the real way to explain is the Holy Spirit. Okay. Make the Bible your only doctrinal book. Amen. And that'll save you from all trouble, beloved.
Amen.
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 So These words are true and faithful. Why do you say that? Because today there are many words, religious words, which are not true and are not faithful, and nobody believes them. Very few. All right, verse 6.
And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega,
the beginning and the end.
I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.
Hallelujah. So you don't have to pay. All right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Today, there are religion, you need to pay to belong. Okay, I'm not talking about the tithe, and that, of course, you have to support your church. I mean, that's a law, offering, etc. 1 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, it says you have to do that. But it's an offering from your heart, you know, okay? But today there are religions that are really legalistic about, you know, you have to, if you want to know an important truth from God, you better buy the book. Mm-hmm. You better buy the CD. You better buy the DVD. And every book has a price. And that can be acceptable in the sense that, yeah, you have to support the church. Okay, I don't mean the church building. The church building is good for nothing. The only church building God accepts is us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God. That's it. The only building God accepts is the body of Christ. Now, you can sell books to support your mission if you're a missionary, but attention, don't fall in the vomit that the only place to find your message you have to buy a book. That's a vomit, okay? Maybe one day, the day will come that also we have to sell a book, maybe because we need it for this and that. Right now, we sell nothing. Until now, we sold nothing. Okay, we
just, yes, yes.
You know very well, everything is for free. Just click and download, it's all for free. Paid by the blood of Jesus. One day, we might have to sell a CD, a DVD. Yeah, we need it for this and that. But woe unto us if the only way for the sheep to get the message will be by buying that. People don't have $10, $20, $30, $40. Mm-hmm. I heard price is $70 for 2, 3, 4 CDs.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you can sell it for whatever you want, as long as the message is also for free.
So the same CD that people can buy should be available for free for those who can't afford.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have a golden cover, a silver writing, this and that, etc. A leather cover. Okay, of course, maybe it needs to have something. Mm-hmm. It would be some kind of PDF or YouTube where our radio site, you can click and download everything.
Yes.
By God's grace, we sell nothing and we give all for free. We encourage everybody who's doing this, please continue.
Man.
And if you have to sell something because you need it for your missionary, not for your religious building, that's good for nothing. Then, yeah, you can use it, sell for your missionary, but you have to give the same message also, first of all, for free. And then if you want to sell in a leather cover, it's your problem.
Yes.
The same message, though. Because Jesus will not sell his blood, his word, his salvation, his healing, his miracles.
Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Next.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Man. Verse 7.
And that was, these words are true and faithful.
Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God's children. Let's go.
Verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
So, of course, we're talking about, King David was a murderer. He killed Uriah, and he was also sexually immoral, and there were all kinds of people, But he's talking, you see, the Bible to interpret a little bit, okay? So who is he talking about here? Everybody here who hasn't been unbelieving, hasn't done some abominable pornography here and there, many people.
Yes.
And some people even murderers, and they were saved. But the condition is to repent. That's so you need to understand here it means if they don't repent. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Also, the first category here, but the cowardly, he talks about the coward that don't make it to heaven. So you cannot be like you're afraid of dying as a martyr, you're afraid of persecution, you're afraid of whatever. And for this reason, you don't receive Jesus Christ. You don't make it to heaven. But we see example that Peter was a coward. Peter denied Jesus. God help us. All right. But he was reinstated. He went back to be gloriously the leader of the early church. Mm-hmm. But he did repent.
In other words, even if sometimes you're a coward, you have fear. Like sometimes I was fearful to evangelize certain people with tattoos, bald, Satanist. I had a little fear to approach them. But if you don't let fear overcome you and you keep going for Jesus and you win over that fear, then you're not a coward, right? Because I think fear we all have sometimes.
Yeah,
so we don't make it to heaven. We do as long as we keep fighting and keep going.
Yeah, even Jesus feared in the Gethsemane, right? It's okay. To be attacked by fear is absolutely normal. The problem is when you you are defeated by fears.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he that overcomes, he that overcomes, he that overcomes. You mean he need to overcome.
Yes.
I mean, God said to Cain, Cain, sin is at the door of your heart. Sin desires you. Its desires are toward you, Cain. What are you going to do? Well, he just chose to be defeated and to kill Abel. That's the thing. I mean, Judas was afraid that they were going to crucify them all or something. So for fear of that, he went and betrayed them. I better join the winning party, the winning barricade. And he thought, okay, it was really fierce. Beware when you are led by fears.
That's why it says in the previous verse, if you overcome, you will inherit all things. Like if you overcome over these sins, over the fears, over the temptations, then you will inherit all these things.
Exactly. He that overcomes shall inherit all these things. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable.
Who don't overcome.
Murderers. Exactly.
Yes, yes.
So you see, the alternative is not the cowardly go to hell, the non-cowardly go to heaven, the unbelieving go to hell, the believing to heaven. No, you can be unbeliever and repent and become believer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes.
You can be an abominable murderer, sexually immoral, like King David, repent and go back to good works.
So this here in verse 8 is for those who don't repent, who stay unbelieving and murderers or whatever, and they shall be the ones going to hell.
Yes, in Matthew 16, Jesus says, all sins shall be forgiven unto men. But there is a condition to forgiving. What is that?
You need to repent.
Repentance. I mean, in order to you cannot forgive somebody who doesn't repent. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give my forgiveness to everybody, but they're not going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Every house I go, I say peace unto you. Okay, Matthew chapter 10. But then the house is not worthy. What does it say, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10? The peace?
The peace will come back to you.
The blessing shall return unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
All right.
And the second death, we already explained it in the previous chapter, chapter 20.
Yeah, that's a long story.
Yes.
So I don't want to go back to that. So read the chapter, what is it, chapter 20?
Mm-hmm.
Explain what the second death is. All right, and that question, Revelation, the chapter, you better study carefully.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, shall we proceed?
Yes. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Wow. So this is the same angel, part of the seven, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues. He came back. He arrived, show up again, and he said, hey, come, I want to show you the bride. Wow. Let's try to be part of the bride, brethren.
Amen.
Daniel 12, 2 and 3. Let's read the 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3.
Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
See, this is the rapture, right? Daniel 12:1 talks about the tribulation. Verse 2 and 3 is the resurrection and rapture. And he says some shall rise to everlasting shame, rapture to everlasting shame, Laodicea, and some rapture to everlasting righteousness and shall shine as the stars. So even the bad Christian will be raptured.
Well, bad Christians.
See, I heard people preach in churches, oh, as long as I'm raptured, I don't care. But that's another issue. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're in the book of the Lamb, you're in the book of the Lamb. All right. 2 Corinthians 11:2-3.
2 Corinthians 11:2-3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. So he's talking to us. He's talking to the Corinthians. And he's saying, hey, you want to be the bride? Do you want to be the bride of Christ? Then be careful that the devil doesn't corrupt your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Be
Thank
careful.
Jesus, amen.
The devil is trying to wrap you up like Eve. It says Eve here. It says,
as the serpent deceived Eve.
Yeah, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. So he offered Eve something that she wanted. She wanted power. She wanted to become like God. You shall be as gods. See, the deceit was not have a bite of apple. You have a banana, have a coconut. No. She wanted to become like God. In other words, taking the place of God. All right? And so that was a sin. She wanted to become God. That was a real sin. That's why we're still paying. Because we're in a fallen humanity. Okay, so that's it. So this is the bride, right? The bride. So let's walk in the straight and the narrow. We'll be the bride. Forsake all, be disciples, full heart. How do you become the bride? Matthew 22:37 said, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength.
Amen.
So you have to give all, not just materially, not just the tithe, not just the material things. You have to give your mind, your desire, your spirit, your heart, your soul, willing to die for Jesus. Not tomorrow when the Antichrist comes. Because this Christian wait for the Antichrist to become the bride, to become faithful, that they will not be. Some of them are going to take the mark of the beast. I'm talking about the ones who are in the book of life. Because in the book of the Lamb, you are saved forever. Maybe we can go back to this a little later, about the book of the Lamb, the book of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, yes?
And here it's interesting. Paul says, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And sometimes in some of your preachings, you explain that this chasteness, virginity to Christ is in the spirit. So if you want to be the bride of Christ, you cannot get contaminated with the world, be adulterous with the world, be a little bit with Jesus and a little bit with the world. You need to be fully consecrated virgin unto Christ, just loving him full heart and nothing else, not the world, earthly things, nothing.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's the bride.
Amen. So you have to make up your mind. You know the bride of Christ just because we go in a church Sunday morning, warm up the bench, listen to a sermon. That's already the tribulation itself sometimes. And we are the bride of Christ. No, you are the bride of Christ. Well, it costs you everything. It's like the guy in Matthew 19, the rich young ruler goes to Jesus, what can I do to have eternal life? He says, well, you have to keep the law. Start by keeping the law. Well, you have to don't kill, don't steal, don't murder. Say, oh, Lord, Master, I did all this. I did this. Matthew 19 says that. And he says, I did. And then Jesus looked to him and said, yeah. He said, yeah, I did all this stuff. And then he asked the big question. Jesus asked him, He said, well, if you want to be perfect, go forsake all that you have, give to the poor, and then follow me. So here we see two steps. One, if you want to have eternal life, keep the law. The Old Testament, people will get saved by
keeping the law.
Keeping the law. Why? Because in the law was included that a Messiah was going to come. All right. So if you believe that the Messiah will come to save you, and then you can be saved by keeping the law. All right. So, just by keeping the law, you can be saved. All right. But if you want to be perfect, in other words, the book of the Lamb, the bride, then you have to give everything. You have to be a disciple. I mean, if you have a wife, a husband, children, you have to be ready to go serve the Lord. But if my family doesn't want to follow me, my children say, no, I don't want Jesus, I want the world. You keep going. You forsake your children? No, but they forsake you.
Yeah, you invite them to follow, to serve
exactly.
the Lord.
Your wife and your husband say, let's go follow Jesus. And no. Mm-hmm. And so choose either me or your Jesus. Well, you say, dear wife, dear husband, look, I don't forsake you. Okay, I follow Jesus. So please come. Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't forsake them. You invite them to come. They forsake you and Jesus.
Yes.
Christian never forsake anybody. They forsake him. Jesus never forsook a disciple. They forsook him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
John 6:66, many of his disciples, they left him, didn't go with him anymore. They didn't follow, but he didn't forsake them. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Clear?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Back to Revelation 21.
21.
Verse 10.
And he carried me?
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain.
Okay, this is like in the spirit. It wasn't a mountain. This world was in the spirit, a spiritual mountain, whatever that is.
And showed me the great city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Wow. So here is the prophet, John. Looking at this city, this gigantic city. Now we're going to see the measurement now. All right. I say, what is that? Can you imagine down slowly like a cloud?
Can't wait to see it.
Poor.
Like a precious stone.
Carry on.
Verse 12.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's go. Thank you. Bless you.
Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
All right, so the gates of this city represents the 12 tribes because in order to enter New Jerusalem, you have to be a descendant of, Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the promise.
So the promise, yeah, that was God's people. So 12 gates. To enter New Jerusalem, you have to be a descendant of Abraham, okay, which first was in the flesh. And then when they crucified Jesus, the descendants became a spiritual one.
In fact, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven shall be taken away from you and given to another.
Exactly.
Which shall bear fruit.
Yeah, that's Matthew 21.
And Galatians 3:29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Very good.
So the Christians are the heirs according to the promise of Abraham.
Great scripture. Amen. So, in other words, they crucified Jesus, so they couldn't be descendants in the flesh anymore. And that's why there was such a problem in Acts chapter 15, that the Christian Pharisees, the Pharisees who converted to Christianity, they wanted to circumcise everybody. And Paul and Peter and James and John, their disciples say, no, you don't have to circumcise. You know, like today they say you have to be baptized in water. Well, that's just a symbol. It was indispensable until the Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Or like that. But Jesus was baptized in water. Yeah, but he was also circumcised. So we're going to do all that. That was because of the law.
Yes.
Okay. So, but now that we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the water is just secondary, symbolic. Well, the water doesn't give you anything. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you everything. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So these are the doors to enter New Jerusalem. 13.
Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord. So these are the foundations, you see. So the doors to enter are the 12 tribes. But the 12 foundations are the 12 apostles.
How can that be? Because the 12 apostles were actually just 11. They put Judas in this list?
No, Judas, no.
Then how come?
They put Matthias, I think. They cast lots. They cast lots and then they say, God, which of these two, which we chose, which of these two look, God, we give you a chance to choose between these two. Not three or four, just two, because we chose these two. So give us a good lot. And that was the last time they used the lot. The lot was commanded in the Old Testament. The New Testament, that was the last time. The first and the last time in the New Testament. Okay, why? Because now you don't need to cast lots to see God's will. Now you have the
Holy Spirit.
Amen. Now you have the Holy Spirit. Thank God. You do, you get on your knees, you close your eyes and prophesy.
Yes.
Okay. See, we see in Acts chapter 13:1, the way the apostles and the prophets in Antioch, they didn't cast lots. Okay, God, show us, give us a good lot. Let me see who goes. No. Holy Spirit prophesy and say, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the job I have. So that's why some people today, they open the Bible. Crack, crack, crack. It's like a lot. Okay? You know, they know the story. The guy was opening the Bible all the time. You know the story of the guy? So this guy was opening everything. He wouldn't do anything without, shall I have breakfast? Open the Bible.
By chance, like that.
It just, yeah. So more or less the scripture will lead yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So he cracked the Bible and he read the scripture to see. And he said, and Judas went and he hung himself. Said, no, wait, this, something wrong with this. No, let me repeat. So he cracked it again. Go thou and do likewise.
Oh, no.
All right. So
I guess God has the sense of humor.
No, but sometimes I crack the Bible myself.
Me too, sometimes.
But it's like, remember, you can, it's not forbidden.
According to
but
how you feel that.
It's like, it's no there.
No.
You know, the first choice is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer on your knees.
What did you read?
14.
You read 14. Thank you, Lord. So the 12 foundations were the name of the 12 apostles. You know, like, so the doors are the 12 tribes because of the promises. God promised he'll have to keep his promise. You know, the son of David, Jesus. But Jesus, is he the son of David? No. He's not the son of David.
Only in the flesh.
You're only in the flesh. But the flesh died. It's not around anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
So the one who's around now is only the son?
Of God.
Of God. In fact, Jesus said that, Messiah is the son of David. And said the Christ, whose son is he? And they said, son of David. Oh, yeah? Then answer my question then. So where does David says in the Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand. Oh, yeah? So in other words, Jesus, the son of Mary, yes, was the son of David, but that died. The one who resurrected was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega. Mary was the daughter of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus and the Father is exactly the same. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you go to the scripture, Isaiah 9:6.
Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
See, it's actually one of the titles of Jesus is Everlasting Father. But he's the son. Come on, is he the son or the father?
He's the son.
Well, here is the thing. The Trinity, so-called the Trinity, which is a word that's not the Bible, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is actually one in the Holy Spirit. Like, there can be three persons tangible materially, but three persons, but never united, never. Mm-hmm. Never one, always three, the person, the physical person. So how they one? They are one in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, if you witness to the Muslim, they get offended by the Trinity, they explain. So look, the Trinity is not the Bible, just tell them straight, it's not the Bible. So, but you guys preach three gods? We don't. We don't preach three gods. Yeah, but Jesus, the Son, the Father. Yes, by the Holy Spirit. If your Quran says that Jesus was generated by the Holy Spirit. So, who's the Father of the Holy Spirit? God.
Yes.
They call him Allah. So, that's Amen. The Son of God. It's in the Quran. So, I'm saying, I said before and I repeat. Jesus, the Son of Mary, died on the cross. Yes, that was Jesus, Son of Mary. But the one resurrected was Jesus, the Son of God, yes, but also had the same Holy Spirit. The Jesus resurrected had the same Holy Spirit that God has. In other words, it's the same Spirit, the same God. Like it says in Isaiah 40, it's one God, only one God. Besides me, there is no other, says in Isaiah. Okay, after 40, 41, 42, there's a few chapters that talks about this. Okay? Man. So that's why I said that the Jesus resurrected is not anymore the son of Mary. But Mary is the daughter of Jesus. So this picture you see with Mary, the little baby with a pacifier in his mouth, is not scripture, okay? But Jesus never called Mary mother, never. He was already preparing that she was not going to be his mother anymore. Why? Because God doesn't have a mother, an auntie, or a nephew, all right? God is God.
Amen.
Amen. So, and that's, but incidentally, this scripture, Isaiah 9:6, Everlasting Father, you can use it when you witness, when you evangelize, as your witness. So look, because they have in the Bible, they have John 1:1, they have the beginning was God. In the beginning was the, how did you say? In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was a God, a God. Well, I said, no, it cannot be a God. He has the same Holy Spirit. The same, it says Galatians 4:6, the same Spirit, Galatians 4:6. And here Jesus called the Everlasting Father. Therefore, Jesus and the Father are one. No, he's not a separate God. Good scripture for the Jehovah Witness. If you bump, they're going to witness with them. But please don't go and argue with them. Next.
Well, back to Revelation 21:14. You were saying that the names of the 12 apostles include Matthias instead of Judas.
Yeah. I didn't finish that sentence, right? Yeah, they cast lots. But that was a mistake. There was an act. You know, there was an act of the apostle, but it was a mistaken act of the apostles.
Why? And how do you
know?
Okay,
just like Barnabas and Paul were arguing in Acts 15. Well, because they were supposed to ask the Holy Spirit. And if they asked the Holy Spirit would have said what? Wait until what? Well, that was Acts chapter 1. They were supposed to wait for what? Eight chapters until Acts chapter 9. What's happening there? Well, there was a guy, well, his name was Saul. He was going to Damascus to string up and cut some throats and torture a few.
Oh.
Okay. And as he was going, his horse, a light appears. That was Jesus. Falls off the horse. Why do you persecute me? I guess I'm out of the spirit. Why do you persecute me? I am Jesus. What's your name? I'm Jesus. And he becomes, long story short, the 12 apostles. Does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say. You have to assume it. At least that's my interpretation. Nobody has to agree. It's not dogmatic. It's not necessary for salvation. But you tell me. So the apostles and their lot, they choose Matthias. But it seems like... by the way, Matthias went on to be an apostle, and I think it was a martyr. Bless him. But in the whole New Testament, I think he wrote 13 books. Most of the New Testament is by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Holy Spirit didn't go to Jesus. They didn't go to meet Matthias. And he went to meet Paul. Why? He needed a radical guy. He needed a guy who didn't believe in warming up church benches and getting together Sunday morning to listen to some sermons that sometimes death is better than that, tribulation is better than that. All right? He was looking for a guy who was not afraid of nothing. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Where did he find this guy? He found him among the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Paul, which means little. Must have been a small guy. I don't know. Little, humble. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
So he's the 12th apostle.
I think he's the 12th. Brother Joseph, prove it. No, it's not. You just have to interpret, assume, discern.
Well, no, by the fruits you can see.
By the fruits. But if you don't believe it, it's not mandatory for salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't worry. In heaven, you can go see Matthias and go see Paul first. Matthias, I'll give him a big hug and a kiss later. But because he also died as a martyr. But I don't think And, you know, I think he's in heaven, agrees for me, I assume. I think Paul was, okay, not against Matthias. But, you know, not everybody can be. Next.
15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal.
Okay, in this time, this city is not a joke, eh? I mean, this city is 12,000 furlongs. Boy, oh boy. Thank you, Lord. I think a furlong was a stadium, you know, I think. In fact, I think you know, the language, that's how they call. Anyway, you know, we calculated 12,000 furlongs. We came up with 1,500 miles high.
Yeah, in the Amplified it says 15.
Or 2,000. The Amplified says what?
It says he measured the city with his reed, 12,000 stadia, about 1,500 miles.
Yeah, that's what they used to call stadium. 1,500 miles high, wide, deep. Okay, oh, in Europeans, it's 2,200 kilometers, 2,200. So that's quite a city, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And now this city comes down from heaven. Oh, it's a gigantic thing. Now, different artists have pictured this city in different conceptions.
Shapes.
So somebody made it with a wall, a city, 2,200 kilometers high. Other people pictured it as a pyramid. Some people have other shapes. We don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't specify, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For sure, the Egyptians, they were making pyramids. That could have been the devil's imitation of this, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right? So, because the devil, he cannot invent. The devil cannot make 2 plus 2 makes 4. He doesn't know that. He has to learn it from God. He has to imitate. He has to copy. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil cannot. He's not able to make a toothpick, right? Zero. The devil is a creation of God. As an angel, they became the devil, and now it's just a bad photocopy.
Mm-hmm.
So the pyramids of the Egyptians, which is a great creation, great idea, but they also found them in South America. They found pyramids under the oceans. And they say, oh, mystery. They don't talk very much about this. You know, there are cities under the ocean. You go on the internet, you see cities under the oceans, pyramids. You don't know that. They don't talk. They don't miss them. They don't talk. There are pictures, yeah, but they don't talk. Why? Because that demonstrates the flood. It demonstrates Noah. It demonstrates that when the flood came, covered cities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right? That was Genesis chapter 8. But there was the ocean. There was no ocean. There was no ocean those days. There was zero ocean. No. The ocean were formed after the flood, where there was the water on top, like a balloon canopy, came down, and that formed the ocean, which covered the whole earth. And then the earth receded, etc. And then God separated, and in Genesis chapter 10, the days of Peleg, was the earth divided. Right? Because before it was just earth everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about overpopulations. God knows what he's doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, God has a, you know, in the movie they have a majestic, you know, God has a, he can snap fingers, all right?
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay, so we get carry on here.
Verse 17.
Then
he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel.
Okay, so, a cubits of a man, okay? It is of an angel because of the angel did it. But anyway, it's the measure of a man. A cubit is like, you know, your arm here, your elbow. From it's a 44 cubits, about 7. We checked the encyclopedia and it says 72 yards and or 65 meters. 65 meters, 72 yards. That's the wall around the city. There is a city. So people, because there's going to be people living outside in the new earth, outside the city. We will study that Revelation 22, next chapter. We will study. But they're going to come and just walk in. There is a wall. I mean, goodness, there is a wall. 65-meter wall. It's not something you just bring a ladder and climb.
65 climb. Meters what?
What?
The wall is 65 meters
high.
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 All right.
Yeah, I know. I think Wikipedia, they say that's the thickness. Come on, you don't need 65 meters thick.
Yeah, that's very thick.
Plus, well, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You mean in Jerusalem, 65 meters thick? That's ridiculous because that's it's made of gold, transparent. It's like diamonds. It's like New Jerusalem, 2,200 kilometers high, is not 65 meters thick and 72 yards. No, it doesn't make sense. So it's a wall around, just like any city, it has a wall.
But the city is high, like you said, 2,200 kilometers.
Yes.
But then there's another wall.
A wall down, to stop the people walking by.
All right.
Because people are going to walk around it. We will study in the next chapter. There's going to be nations outside New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in front of the 12 gates, they're going to be what? 12 angels.
Ah, yeah.
And you know, the angels usually carry a what?
Sword.
A sword. And the sword, you better be careful because it's not made of aluminium. It's not made of stainless steel of Toledo, famous Spanish swords. No. It's swords which you better be careful. Thinking one time or two before you approach that angel. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. 18.
The construction of its wall was of
jasper.
And the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
You see that? So, understand, it explains here, like the city was like, the wall was jasper. In other words, 65-meter high of jasper, was like jasper, like pure jewels. But the city in itself was pure gold, like clear glass. You can kind, in a way, see through. Ah, you mean that I'm there taking a shower and people from outside, they're going to see me? No, don't worry, you know, because, you know, you can, you know, it can be a glass that you can you can see out, but they don't see in, for example. You know, we're talking about a heavenly city here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so you can take shower.
Thank you.
Beloved sister, you can take a shower.
Yeah,
no,
I wasn't worried, actually. So
the people from the nation are going to be there with binoculars looking.
No.
Oh, here is John.
Yeah, you won't need to take a shower in the New Jerusalem.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. Good point, thank you, Johnny. John.
Yeah, there was a testimony. In fact, a guy went to heaven. He died. He went to heaven for a few minutes. I don't know if it was an hour. And he said he could eat fruit in heaven. And he said that the thing is that when you eat a fruit and you throw something down, as soon as it touches the ground, disappears. So there's no garbage trucks with people hanging outside collecting plastic bags and complaining that people are not organizing, separating the glass from the metal, from the garbage, from, all right?
Yes.
So we discovered that there is no garbage truck in heaven. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So I don't know what job you're going to do in heaven or me, but you know, be collecting garbage. Why?
There is no garbage.
What's next?
19. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones.
Wow.
The first foundation was jasper.
Wow.
The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald.
Emerald.
The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth,
sardius.
Sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst.
You know, I don't even know all these things, you know.
I don't even know if they exist, all these
things. You know, I'll reveal you a secret. I don't know what in the world these jewels are. I never had
any of this.
chrysoprase or chrysoprase. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Jacinth and topaz and beryl. Chrysolite and sardius, sardonyx. My goodness.
In heaven, we'll see.
You know, you have to be a jeweler high class here to understand what's going on here. 21.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls.
Wow. The whole gate, it's a huge pearl. You know, in heaven, they don't mind that. They don't care about the expenses, you know. You have to buy a little pearl, you have to sell your house. Depends what pearl you buy. The gates are of pearls.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
The floor, gold. Mm-hmm. You know. And does it say that?
Coming. The 12 gates or 12 pearls, each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass.
See, it's not gold like here, because they say that the gold, the earthly gold, there is 24 carats, the most pure gold. You say there is one impurity, the scientists say, that there is an impurity in gold. They cannot take it out. It's impossible. And that's why gold is not transparent. Without that impurity, it would be see-through like glass, like diamonds. Okay, in heaven, the impurity is not there. Apparently, it happened, this impurity at the fall of Adam and Eve, because the whole world collapsed. And then he says the streets of gold.
Yes.
You know the story of the guy that went to heaven with two suitcases?
Yes, you know, kind of.
Did I tell you the story?
Oh, you can say it again.
Okay. No, it's cute. The guy died and went to heaven, and you know, the knock at the door. You know the story, they usually Peter with the keys, you know, that's in every story.
At the pearly gates.
Okay, in reality, Peter is not going to be there. He's probably going to be more around Jesus inside. Anyway, in the story, he went there, he knocks, say, "I want to talk to the boss." Oh, surely. So the guy calls, hello, Peter, there's a guy looking for you. So Peter comes with a bunch of keys everywhere. Yes. What can I do for you? So the guy says, well, here I am. Yeah, what can I do for you? Well, I died. Yeah, you died. And? Well, isn't this heaven? Yeah. Well, I'm a good religious guy, and warm up the church bench and everything. Can I come in? And he said, we have a check up here. You know, we have a little check before people come in. What kind of check? Well, I noticed you're carrying two suitcases. Yes, this is my personal, yeah. And what are you planning to do with the suitcases? Oh, these are my personal belongings. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but we need to inspect, because, yeah, nothing can come in that we don't check. Well, if you really have to, we have to, yes. But actually, in a second thought, I'd like to keep it private. So then Peter says, hello, rings, hello, sorry, master, you have to come, you have a problem at the gate. So Jesus says, okay, I'm on my way. So Jesus comes and says, what's going on? I says, well, there is this guy here with two suitcases. He doesn't want to let us inspect. And Jesus turned to the guy and says, you know, actually, yeah, you might have to yield and just accept. You know, it's like even on the world you come from, they were checking at the border, you know. Of course, we had to check too. And so we say, okay, but since Jesus asked me, okay, I will. So open the suitcases. Gold, full of gold. And so Jesus said, come on, Peter. It's only street material. Let him in.
Let him
Thank
in.
You, Jesus.
Next.
It's only pavement. Revelation 21:22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Wait. Pull the handbrake.
Beautiful.
Because, you know, if you park uphill, the car will go down. Uh-huh. Now, that's what I did in England, you know. I was there visiting some friends, and I left the car. It was a hill. I left on top of the hill, a little hill. And then I went out after the visit. The car was gone. They stole my car. My car is gone. No. My car. I paid £50 for it. You know, it was an old car. It was 1971. I said, I'm dead. My car is gone. They stole my car. It's old and ugly. Who could have stolen it? And then I look and look down the hill against a tree. That was my car. Against a tree.
Oh, no.
So I went, making sure nobody was looking, because they would call me a complete stupid idiot. I didn't pull the handbrake. And it was the gear was smart enough to leave it on neutral.
Oh, no.
Neutral and no handbrake. I mean, just a little wind and the car went down.
Yeah.
Can I read again, verse 22?
Read again, 22.
Yes, please.
But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Oh, thank you, Lord. So you understand here?
So no churches in New Jerusalem?
No churches.
No temples.
No, you don't need to go to churches. Oh, we need money to buy a new building. This one is falling on our head. The church benches, we can sit 3 hours. They don't get warmed up. I don't know. We need to buy candles. Ooh, ooh. And everybody, ooh, ooh. You know, so money for the. But in reality, the Bible says in Acts 7:48, it says, the Most High does not dwell in temples
made with hands.
You know, because 1 Corinthians 3:16, now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God. But some people don't want to understand the why. Because the building gives them power, gives them control. You control the building, control the church. And that's why God doesn't like it.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. So there'll be no temple.
It says God shall be its temple.
Yeah, but already now we have God's temple, Jesus Christ, the body of Christ.
Being in our hearts.
Yes, Then it will be whether you like it or not. And everybody's going to like it. But now people still want the Catholic temple, the Protestant sanctuary, the Evangelical Sunday morning church, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, etc. But when Jesus came, he never said, go into all the world and get into building, construction, real estate, suck as much money as possible to make a building, but if it falls, run. He didn't say that.
No.
Keep reading.
Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it.
Praise God.
For the glory of God illuminated it.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
The Lamb is its light. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. See, these people inside the New Jerusalem, the bride, they are not like in the New Earth where everything will be exactly like now, except the devil is not going to be here, etc. But there will be still the solar system, the morning, the evening, etc. There will be the people get tired, go to sleep, they get sick, they need healing. All right, we'll study this in the next chapter, right? In New Jerusalem, it's a different story.
Thank you, Lord.
There is a light of God. In fact, if you see in Genesis chapter 1, first there was light, and then he created the sun. Mm-hmm. Let there be light. And light was, and was the first day. And what is the sun? No, that was created later. Check it out. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are you?
24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Who are the nations of those who are saved?
Well, shall I explain this in the next chapter?
Why?
It's a long story here. Because there is, we'll get back to this in the next chapter. I don't want to jump ahead of me.
All right.
It has to do with Revelation 20:11-15, and we'll explain that in the next the next passage.
Sure.
There are nations outside. But remember this. There'll be nation that shall walk in its light, the light of New Jerusalem. Just like in a night you walk, in the light of the moon. You know, some nights are so bright, boy, you can really walk, no problem.
Yes. Right. So the nations outside of New Jerusalem shall walk in its light.
In the light of the New Jerusalem.
And the kings of the earth, meaning the kings of those nations outside.
The king of the earth is the people, it's probably the people living inside New Jerusalem. It has to do with the people inside who rule the nations outside.
Uh-huh.
It's not exactly very clear, but in Revelation, if you read Revelation, Revelation 5, 9 and 10.
Revelation 5, 9 and 10.
It talks about these kings.
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
Understand? So it will be the bride living inside New Jerusalem that will rule as kings on the new earth according to this scripture. In other words, there'll be nation outside, but they will not be able to elect their own leader. Democracy. I'll vote for Lenin. No, I'll vote for Mussolini. No. I want the president of China. Mm-hmm. You know, vote for me, I'm an atheist. It's not like that. There were no elect their own kings. So the kings would be you and people like you. It'd be queens, kings, the ones who are going to be faithful. Be faithful and you'll be, and among us there'll be people who are going to be king and queens. Among us who? The worldwide church.
Yes, yes.
Not talking about just our church, the Church of the Spirit, no.
So the bride who lives in New Jerusalem will be ruling over the nations outside New Jerusalem.
Exactly. In fact, you see in Matthew 19, you are faithful with 5 talents, 10 talents. Okay, here rule over 10 cities. Here 5 cities. In those days, people didn't understand about the astronomy.
Matthew
so
19,
he couldn't have
said
five planets, 5 galaxies, but it would be to that. Like, be faithful in the least. When he said be faithful in the least, Luke 16:10, you be faithful in much. He's talking about ruling the universe. Mm-hmm. Like the bride of Christ will rule over planets, over solar systems, over galaxies. It's like, lift up your eyes, God said to Abraham, and count the stars if you can. So will your descendants be. So the things are coming which... He says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Those of us who are faithful, it's going to be you, me, you, another, we don't know.
Yes.
We don't know who's going to sit to the right or to the left or nearby.
Yes,
we don't know. Who's going to be kings and queens and princesses. Just make sure you're not allowed this here, Revelation 3:14, that Jesus is going to vomit out because we're ashamed of Jesus. Never preach the gospel, never forsook all for Jesus, never gave all to Jesus, never, never, never. I like the rich young ruler. Jesus said, give all to the poor and follow me. And the guy, he said, no, I have great possession. Jesus said, ooh. It'd be easier for a camel to go the eye of the needle than for a rich guy to go to heaven. Who shall be saved? Well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. God figure out. Amen. So be careful that, because he was putting his riches. Oh, now, you can have riches if you use it for the glory of God. You can have riches if it's for the glory of God.
Amen.
If the gospel is first. Yeah, you can have riches, you can have cars, you can have a ship. A ship with sailors, you can have that if you use it for the gospel.
Like Abraham.
Yeah, it says Abraham, is in Genesis 13, it says Abraham was very rich. Why? Because God's blessing. But God kept making him richer and richer and richer, like in David, because he was using for God. Understand?
Yes, yes.
All right.
You said Matthew 19, the talent. It's Matthew 25.
Yeah, Matthew 25, the talents, but also Matthew 19, it talks about the talents, the minas. It's a parallel. The parable of the talents, it's in both places. Right, only in Matthew 25, it talks about well done, faithful good servants, verse 23, be faithful in the least, now come, I put you over much. In Matthew 19, it says, be over 5 cities, be over 10 cities. That's the only place where it says that. It talks about cities. So I said that those days, he couldn't have said more than that because, they didn't know there were galaxies. But now we do know. There are more galaxies that we are able to discover. They count them in the millions. They counted the galaxy in millions, billions of galaxies. So we have no idea how big is the kingdom of God. God has put us here to the level of a worm. We are like worms. To learn,
faithfulness.
Yeah, humility. Faithfulness, yes, but more than that, humility. Because without humility, we shall not see God. Where are we?
Verse 25. Revelation 21:25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. You see, there's been a night because it's always, like the angels, it's going to be
wonderful. They need to go to sleep. Thank you, Jesus.
And
if somebody wants to see the stars?
You can take a look.
But how, if it's all day bright?
Well, you're going to have your eyesight is going to be like sunglasses if you want.
Ah.
You can adjust your eyes.
All right.
You know.
Sure.
I mean, we can answer. You just have to wait a little patient, then you'll see directly, because it's not that we know everything. Eh? Okay, you see, can you give me a scripture in Matthew 22?
Yes.
And it talks here about the people are going to be in San Jerusalem, and people go outside. Matthew 22, 10 to 14.
Matthew 22, 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless.
Speechless.
Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen."
So this parable, symbolically, represents the people without wedding garment. The wedding is the wedding of Christ. So without wedding garment, not only cannot get married with Jesus, but you can't even be there officiating and clapping your hands and blessing God. And the wedding garment, Revelation, can you give me a scripture? Revelation 19, 8.
Revelation 19, 8.
7, 8 or 9, I think, about the garments.
Eight. Revelation 19, 8. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints."
Okay, this is the bride. If you read from 7 to 9, it's the bride.
The marriage of the Lamb, yes.
The marriage of the Lamb. So the clothes represent the spiritual soul, the spiritual purity. So this guy didn't have a suit. He's not talking about he didn't go to the right tailor. Like this guy didn't have a suit because he didn't prepare. It's kind of like the same, like the virgin without oil, that kind of situation. And so he cast him out. Where didn't say go to the lake of fire? No, he said cast him out into outer darkness, where there will be what? Weeping, gnashing of teeth. That for me is a description of the new earth. In other words, New Jerusalem is like the marriage chamber of the Virgin with oil, New Jerusalem. But outside, outer darkness, where there'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth. All right, we will study tomorrow about this. We study the next chapter. Okay, it's outside New Jerusalem. It's a terrible place. It's the new earth, which if you happen to see the Jehovah's Witness depiction, you see they're always there in the picnic having snacks. Well, it's not going to be like that outside. Look, you can read it. Go ahead, take a look. We'll take a jump ahead, or we'll study the next chapter, Revelation 22. 14 and 15. It's talking about New Jerusalem in and out and out of it.
Revelation 22, 14 and 15. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and practices a lie."
Wow. So in this time, blessed are those who what?
Who enter through the gates into the city.
Yeah. Can you read the whole 14?
"Blessed are those who do his commandments."
That's it. "Blessed are those who do the commandments, that they may enter into the city." Which are the commandments? The commandments of Christ.
The gospel.
Understand? And that's what the book of the Lamb is. To the book of life, it's a book, yeah, people can have eternal life. But it's not the ultimate book, because the book of life is a book that can be erased. Where do we see that? Revelation 3, verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 5, it says that you can be erased from the book of life. You can lose it. You can lose eternal life, just like Adam and Eve. But the book of the Lamb, no. Book of the Lamb is that is Revelation 13:8. It's a book that you are protected by angel. So make sure your name is there. How? The same way Peter was there, that could deny Jesus, he could make this mistake. And the angel helped him, the Holy Spirit helped him to bring him to repentance and to be reinstated as a leader of the early church. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that your name is in the book of the Lamb. How? You have to give your whole heart. You have to be willing to die for Jesus. Okay, you have to be willing to do everything. But then after make mistakes, yes, not only you can, but you will make mistakes. You will sin. But once you are there, you are there. My wife makes mistakes, and for sure she thinks I make mistakes. But once we're married, we're married. In Jesus, we're married. That's it. Mm-hmm. She can make mistakes. She's my wife. I make mistakes. I'm the husband. So you're married with Jesus. In this kind of marriage, you don't get cast out because Jesus protects you. Can you read John 10:28?
John 10:28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
You understand? So there are churches who believe you can lose eternal life. They are right. Yeah, they are correct. Other Christians who believe you cannot lose it. They are also right. But we must explain. Those who can lose eternal life is because they are in the book of life, like Revelation 3:5, like the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 or in Mark chapter 10. The rich young ruler. Yes, you can be raised. Okay? Yeah. If you deny, if you don't repent, etc. Okay. It's by works in Christ. What do you say? Revelation 20, verse 15. You're saved by works. Okay, Revelation 20:15. Some Christians, I don't understand this. But then there is another book, all right, like this one you just read now. Nobody shall snatch him out of my hands. And that's the book of the Lamb. In other words, Jesus is responsible of your salvation. And if you sin like David with Bathsheba, Jesus will bring you to repentance. And then you bring... Because you're saved, you will for sure bring forth fruits of salvation. Mm-hmm. Is that how it works?
Yes.
If you don't have any questions, carry on.
No, I don't have questions. Also because we explained it very well in Revelation chapter 20, the difference between the two books.
Yes.
Revelation 21:26-27. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Wow. So it says here, the nation shall bring their glory and honor into it.
Into New Jerusalem.
Into New Jerusalem.
And what's this glory and honor?
Yeah, what will it be? Some fruit and veggies, some cauliflower, some cucumbers, some big squash.
It says glory and honor.
So in New Jerusalem, are they going to eat what they can they bring? Some fruits of the new earth. Can the new earth have better food than New Jerusalem?
No.
My goodness, what kind of glory and honor can they bring, those guys? Some furniture, maybe?
No.
I don't know, some gold, which is impure compared to the other. Would be degrading the golden New Jerusalem. What can they bring? Well, I think the only thing that is worthy to go inside, like it says in verse 27, they shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes. So the only thing that will go in shall be those whose names are written
in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Okay, and that's my opinion. That's what I think. That's what I believe. It's my belief that the glory and the honor of the nations are going to be the soul saved in the new earth, or the people who get converted on the new earth. All right, and their names will be written in the book of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And in other words, just like Paul was going around and say, this is Timothy. This is Timothy, whom I am his father in the Lord. I witnessed to him, and he got converted, and et cetera, okay, and then Timothy could access into the church of the early church, into the among the Christians. So the kings of the earth shall, you know, that shows that the kings of the earth live in New Jerusalem, because otherwise they couldn't go in.
Yes, all it's right? True.
But they will bring the glory and the glory and the honor. So I have the honor to announce that these people accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior, and they are in the book of the Lamb. I have the honor and the glory to announce that I can bring these people into New Jerusalem who have accepted Jesus. They passed every test that they demonstrated, mm-hmm. because on the new earth there is going to be still whoremongers, we read before, no? There's going to be idolaters. Evil, yes. People who love a lie. In other words, the Christians are going to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, God is not going to be in control of the new earth, like everything is like heavenly. Not at all. Read again verse 15, chapter 22.
22:15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and practices a lie.
Amen. Is it clear? Anyway, we're going to get into this more in detail in the next chapter, all right?
Yes.
Okay, how the people on the new earth can become part of the bride of Christ, enter the book of the Lamb. We'll get more in detail, okay?
All right, okay. Yes.
Yes.
So any more questions?
But we understood that the people living outside, they can get saved, and the kings will bring them into New Jerusalem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the kings, what are they going to bring? Some beetroots, some cucumbers. I mean, a king is not going to bring some fruit and veggie.
No.
What's the glory and honor? There is no glory and honor in the new earth. The only thing is, something that can give glory and honor to the Lamb, to God,
yes.
In New Jerusalem. But that can only be the fruit of the cross, the fruit of his blood. We'll get back on this
in the next
chapters, okay?
Yes, that's
so
wonderful.
Don't
yes.
miss the next chapter,
Amen.
Which will be the
Thank
conclusion
you,
of this little study in the book of Revelation, scripture Amen. By scripture. Oh, there's a plane passing by. Maybe they also want to tune in. Praise God.
Amen.
Not bad.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, then we finish chapter 21, and we greet you, brethren, and tune in with last chapter 22.
Amen. The Lord bless you. Open your heart. If you're a new brother, if you're a new Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're half a Christian, if you're not sure you want to be a Christian, open your heart and say, Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I'm just, I don't know where I was born. I don't know where I live. I don't know where I'll die. I don't know. Can you show me, please? Show me. Give me the Holy Spirit that will enlighten my brain. Give me discernment, wisdom, and the brethren who are Christians. Maybe you need a gift of the Spirit. Romans 1:11 says you can receive an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord Jesus, bless me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory and to spread this truth right and left and everywhere that I can, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A hug
Amen.
And a kiss.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Tune in with our radio if you like. Angie will tell you some information.
RadioBlast.net. That's our website. And our YouTube channels are called, have an Italian name, Fratello Giuseppe Radio Blast.
Yeah. And this is, since they're in Italians, you can practice, you know, we can help you learn Italian for free, no overcharge. God bless you. We love you in Jesus Christ.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.